A wag-sized tongue of flame stabbed out of the long cannon barrel of the low, dark war wag squatting across the open space several hundred yards away. The driver hit the electromagnetic brake. It moved ahead a further 50 yards before it stopped all the way and began to reverse.
Alpha 1, Magog 6, blast that bastard!
It will take them time to deploy the pop-up turret, sir!
Alpha 1 carried very special ordnance not usually called upon in a fight, and so was customarily kept retracted out of harm's way.
I know that, Wynn, I'm not a stoop!
Another camera's imaging had come on the main screen, from slightly higher up than before.
Damage control reports negative damage to engine. Damage negative, sir. Except for the camera, sir.
They can't hurt us.
Until they figure out to load armor-piercing rounds, can't you back this thing up any faster?
The tank gunner loosed another round. His next shot missed Magog clean and exploded inside the shell of a building to the left.
They shoot like they got their heads in a bucket. That's something.
Profile of the tank is consistent with a main battle tank, M1 Abrams, General. We're still trying to identify which mark.
I don't know what nuke fire difference that makes, but carry on.
Several techs began to talk at once, reporting that the train was starting to take fire from the sides. Doc fancied he could feel the vibrations, scarcely more than a tingle, as heavy weapons mounted on other cars cut loose.
A most civilized way to watch a war, if any such can be said to exist.
All that's missing is the popcorn, Theopolis. Driver, stop us with the front of the engine 200 yards back from the corner. We don't want to have that beast right on top of us when it comes hauling around the corner.
Turret Alpha 1 fully deployed and ready to fire, sir.
Ace. Now we wait.
They waited. More hooded, shadow-faced figures popped up in the rubble to either side to shoot at the rail wag. They didn't all have muzzle loaders, but they didn't have anything larger than small arms either. They could do little damage to the train, and every shot they fired was met with an enthusiastic cascade of return fire from the train. Doc wasn't sure how much damage it was doing them, either, but it made an impressive display.
Well, where's that goddamn tank?
The seconds ticked by. The war wag failed to appear. The asymmetric firefight thumped and boomed along outside.
That's enough! Send some men out to take a look, see what the holdup is.
We're still taking fire, sir!
I can see that. I'm not a chowderhead. Are you a chowderhead, Wynn?
Sir, yes, sir!
Well, at least you're decisive. You can stay. We will provide them covering fire, and they can take their chances like the rest of us.
The general rolled his head back and rolled a pale blue eye up at Doc, who for some reason was reminded of a vulture.
Send the new recruits, Dix and Jack Lawrence, or whatever his name is.
Lauren.
Him, the albino. Let him earn their keep, and send a laser designator with them.
JB and Jack broke from the side of Magog like startled quail and scuttled for the building fronts in the right-hand side of the train. Bullets cracked and ricochets zinged around them, and little dirt fountains spurted as they ran. Behind them, Magog's awesome firepower boomed a hearty reply. They slammed their backs right up against a blank concrete wall of a building. JB clutched his fedora to his head. They had both refused helmets, as a burst of launched 40mm Grenz from an MK-19 raked the second story over their heads and brought dust and fist-sized chunks of concrete cascading down on them.
Dark night! We're in more danger from our own rad-blasted side.
Not on their side.
What's that, a pronoun? You must be serious. Right now, I'm more on the side of the people inside the train shooting out than I am of the people outside the train shooting at us. Let's move!
They ran along the building fronts, dodging around piles of slumped rubble too big to jump over. The train provided excellent cover on their left. That was until they passed the end of the train and had to dash on another 200 yards in the clear. JB let Jack take the lead. The youth was toting a Franchi Spass 12 riot shotgun, while JB carried his own beloved Uzi. It didn't have great range, but if somebody too far away seriously needed to die, the boys back in the railwag turrets would do their enthusiastic best to oblige. For just a moment, he wondered how the friends would ever get around the Magog bastards. A few hundred men had the firepower of a pre-war regiment. Then a white-hooded figure stepped out of a building ahead of them and raised a bolt-action long blaster, returning JB to the present in a hell of a hurry. Jack perforated the attacker with two rounds from the Spaz in semi-auto mode. They ran on.
Hey, great big railwag.
This is your boys with their ass in the grass. We have the war wagon sight.
How dare you profane this radio system, Mr. Barrymore?
Ass in the grass? I'll have your fucking ass in a sling!
Shut up, you idiots! Ass in the grass, this is the General. I read you loud and clear. What's the status of the tank?
Looks to be shy of track on the left-hand side, General. Can't tell about the right. Don't guess it matters.
No, don't guess it does. You boys sit tight. Daddy's coming. And make sure you keep it down in the grass so it doesn't end up in a sling.
Everybody's a comedian.
JB stopped thumbing the send button.
Still, it's too bad the old bastard's such a bastard. Different circumstances, I could get to like him.
Just past the corner, a long dead wag lay on its side, with its nose up against a squat concrete planter. It provided a nice convenient observation post for JB and Jack, both covered and concealed from the immobile but still lethal tank.
Look here!
Jack was hunkered over the body of a white hood who had caught a couple rounds from an M60. The hood had fallen askew, revealing a head concealed by a midnight blue ski mask. A busted pair of shades lay slaunchways across the masked face. Jack had run the mask's lower edge up the side of the chill's face, using the tip of the Mutie Hole's bowie knife, which he had kept as a trophy of his Tucumcari adventure. What was revealed was a chin and cheek and nose that looked entirely normal, except for being the same chalk white as Jack's.
Relative of yours?
Jack slipped the mask up farther to reveal a blue eye staring intently at nothing in particular.
Not so good looking. Here comes train.
Time to do the deed.
JB lay flat on his belly and slithered to peer around the edge of the planter. He brought the little laser pointer up by his face, aimed it at the tank, and pressed the button. Doc could feel the tension mount as the train crept back toward the corner. As near as he understood it, the General needed to knock out the tank before it landed a penetrating hit on the engine. The fusion power plant wouldn't explode, even if it took a direct hit, Doc gathered, but it couldn't be repaired. Not even Magog's library held sufficient data for that, and probably no one alive had the skill to fix it anyway. They were themselves at risk should the gunners get a shot at the command car. That didn't concern Doc. Neither did the fate of the General's engine. He was worried about Jack and John Barrymore. And when Magog hove into view, it was highly unlikely the tankers would spare much thought for JB and Jack, even if they somehow became aware of them. The empty plaza approached.
For what we are about to receive, dear Lord, make us thankful.
Magog 6, Alpha 1. We have acquisition, we have a tone.
Fire, damn it!
Alpha 1 and the Abrams fired simultaneously. The latter's 120mm main blaster roared and ejaculated flame, rocking the 60-ton monster back on its suspension. The shell struck the train with almost mathematical precision in the center of the rubble clearing blade. The shaped charge warhead went off, turning the copper lining the inverted cone molded into the front of the charge into a jet of high-velocity plasma. It burned a hole the size of an old 50-cent piece right through the heavy steel blade. In the interval of open air between Blade and Magog's armored prow, as brief as it was, the incandescent stream lost heat and velocity with dramatic swiftness. Such that when it actually reached Magog's hull, all it did was spray paint a pretty, shiny copper circle on the metal. The Hellfire missile launched from Alpha 1's rack, however, homing on the tiny laser spot JB was shining on the tank, struck the turret ring, and blew the Abrams turret right off. The data recovery team had a brisk time of it going into the building to which Hubertus's analysts directed them. The sunlight-hating defenders, whatever they were, be it humans with some shared skin disease, muties, or health cultists who worried way too much about melanoma, fought with wildly assorted weapons and not much skill, but tenaciously. The Magog sec men picked were expert at their craft, which was chilling, and they had the blasters, the bullets, and the grens to do it. They left 8 men cooling to ambient temperature and brought back 9 wounded, 3 of whom would die later. But they also brought back a zip disc and a special lead-lined Faraday cage case. Before the train had fully backed out of the DFC, the The general had his heart's desire. Not the Great Redoubt itself, yet, but the key, the ultimate key, the redoubt's exact location, and how to get inside. Only the general and Hubertus were permitted in the general's sitting room when the disk was read on a laptop not connected to the train's local network. But before the train had rolled out of Denver South, word had flashed the length of the train. The Great Redoubt was in South Cali, somewhere that hadn't fallen into the Pacific. From prior explanation, Magog's crew knew the rail lines through Vada were too badly cut up to fix or find a way through. The quickest route west lay south, through Taos and what had been New Mexico.